Each and every one, appreciate that good reading of the scripture that Alvin just gave for us there from John chapter 21, and encourage everyone to keep your Bibles opened up there to John chapter 21. We're going to begin with our lesson there this morning titled, Do You Love the Lord More? Going back to our reading this morning of John 21 there and in verse number 15, we learn that Jesus asked Simon Peter a question. Did you catch what that question was? He asked him, do you love me more than these? As good Bible students, you recall that Peter had previously boasted that he would even lay down his life for the sake of the Lord. However, do you remember how Jesus responded to him when Peter told the Lord that? You remember what he said? He said to him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Simply put, Jesus was telling Peter, really, Peter? He goes on to say, assuredly I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. As we know, that is exactly what Peter did, right? He denied Jesus three times. After Jesus was arrested and Peter was recognized and questioned concerning his association with Jesus, he denied him, didn't he? However, after Jesus was put to death on the cross, after he was buried, and after he was raised from the dead the third day, we learn that Jesus appeared to his disciples on a few occasions, didn't he? He appeared to them on a few occasions before he ascended back to heaven. And on the occasion that he appeared to them, as we read about here in John chapter 21, we find that Jesus challenged Peter with the question, do you love me more? That's a good question, isn't it? That's a good question. And with that thought in mind, I want to challenge us this morning with the question, do you love the Lord more? You see, there are many today who, like Peter once was, who claim that they too would even lay down their life for the sake of the Lord. But when it comes time for the rubber to meet the road, they really don't allow their actions to speak louder than their word, do they? So knowing that, let's take some time this morning to examine the question, do you love the Lord more? And I begin by asking us this morning, do you love the Lord more than self? Do you? Do you love the Lord more than even your own self? You see, did you know that a desire to please self instead of a desire to please the Lord our God can often be one's greatest problem when it comes to serving the Lord and putting Him first? Did you know that that could be one's greatest hindrance in putting the Lord first is self? Jesus understood that, didn't he? You see, Jesus understood just how powerful a desire to serve oneself was. That's why he said, reading from Luke's gospel account there in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 23, that's why he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Did you catch that? He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He says in verse 24, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And then he asked in verse 25, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses himself and is himself destroyed or lost? Simply put, what Jesus is saying, what is it going to profit a man if he gained the whole world, but yet he lost his own soul? We know the answer to that question, don't we? Nothing. And you see, again, Jesus understood the power of one's desire to please self. He understood the power of pride. He understood the power of selfish ambition. That's why he said, if you desire to come after me, you better deny yourself. You better put away that pride. You better put away your selfish ambitions. You better put me in my way first. And when you think about that, when you think about when one lets self rules when one let self rule over their life, when they let self rule, it is self who determines how to live, act, and think. That's why we must deny ourselves if we're going to follow Jesus. Because if we don't deny ourselves, we're not going to allow Him to dictate how we should live, act, and think. We're not going to do things the Lord's way, but rather we're going to do things our way. And that's why this condition of discipleship is there. You see, think about this condition of discipleship for a moment. Think about it. If one desires to follow Jesus, they must deny self. So I may be thinking, well, Brad, what's that mean? What's that look like? You know, we learn from the text what that means. It means that we must surrender our will to do the will of the Lord. It means that if circumstances demand, one must even be willing to suffer daily. Even willing to lay down their own life for the Lord's sake, if need be. So what about you? Do you love the Lord more than self? Are you putting the Lord's will before your will? Have you truly denied yourself? Have you truly put away your pride and your selfish ambitions and made that choice to follow Jesus and to do His will? Have you? If you love the Lord more than self, you will. But I also ask the question this morning. Do you love the Lord more than family? Do you love the Lord more than your parents? Do you love the Lord more than your spouse? Do you love the Lord more than your children and your siblings? Do you? You see, sadly, there are some today who proclaim to love the Lord who pledge more loyalty to family than they do to the Lord Himself. But you want to know something? The Lord demands first place in one's life, and He will not settle for second place. Notice this with me as I take us to Matthew chapter 10. Notice these words of Jesus with me here in Matthew chapter 10, beginning here in verse number 34. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." Now watch it, because he says in verse 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You see, again, I want us to take a moment to think about this condition of discipleship. Again, Jesus said, those who love father or mother, son or daughter, are not worthy of me. Let that sink in. Jesus is saying, even precious family members are not to stand in competition to the Lord and His will. You see, if we love the Lord more than family, guess what? We're not going to let them keep us from obeying the gospel. How many times have you talked to someone and you've talked to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when you get to that point to where you think that they're really, really about to get it, they say, "Oh, but that would really upset my mom and dad if I did that. That would really hurt their feelings if I was immersed in baptism after they had me sprinkled when I was a little infant." How many times have you heard someone make that statement? I've heard that on countless occasions. And what's that telling you when people make that statement? That's telling us that they're pledging to love their family more than the Lord. That tells us that they're putting their family and their family's feelings and their family's will before the Lord's will. I mean, think about that. You see, if we truly love the Lord more, we're going to be willing to leave the false teaching that our family may have accepted, even when that false teaching is proven wrong. Again, I present the question, how many times have you been studying with someone who you know is in error, who you know is following the traditions, the doctrines, the commandments of men, and when they get to the point to where, again, you think that they're about to see that and get it and change, they say, oh, I could never leave that such and such denomination. I could never leave that because my grandpa and my grandma's been going there for years. My mom and dad's been going there for years. I could never leave that. What's that saying? Again, it's saying they're putting family before the Lord. It's saying that they love their family and care more about what their family think than the Lord. Let me throw you out another example. This even happens today. How many times have you heard someone say, well, I just couldn't make it to worship service because I had some family down visiting that I haven't seen in a long time. I wanted to spend time with them. I haven't seen them in a while. I'm sorry, I couldn't be there. How many times have you heard someone make that statement? Think about that. You see, if we truly love the Lord more, guess what? We're not going to allow our family to keep us from attending services, are we? If we truly love the Lord more, guess what we're going to do? We're going to invite those family when they come over or happen to drop by to come to services with us, aren't we? You see, again, I ask, do you love the Lord more than your family? Do you? If you do, you will pledge more loyalty to the Lord than to your family. But I also ask the question this morning, do you love the Lord more than the praise of men? Did you know that there are some who love the praise of men more than the praise of God? Did you know that? We even have an example of this there in John chapter 12. Turn there with me in your Bibles, if you will, there to John the 12th chapter. And here in John chapter 12, notice with me, beginning in verse number 42. There it's recorded, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. That is Jesus Christ. Here John's declaring that many of these Jewish rulers believed in Jesus Christ. But because of the Pharisees, he says, they did not confess him. Why didn't they confess Jesus, John? He says, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. However, if we truly love the Lord more than the praise of men, guess what? We're not going to be afraid to declare him before men, are we? We're not going to be afraid to openly confess and to declare him before men. We're not going to let men keep us from that, are we? If we truly love the Lord more than the praise of men, we're always going to be ready and willing to stand for the Lord and for that which is right, even though we may even find ourselves standing alone at times. You see, loving the Lord more is a matter of conviction, not a matter of convenience or a matter of human approval or praise. Think about that. Understand that. You see, there are going to be times when men are going to scoff at us. There's going to be times when men are going to oppose us. There's going to be times when men are going to do whatever they can do to hurt us. But if we truly love the Lord more, we're not going to care anything about what those men think or try to do to us. If we truly love the Lord more, we're going to stand for the Lord and His will even when men may oppose us. So I ask, what about you? Do you love the Lord more than men? Do you? Do you stand ready and willing to be scoffed and mocked by men for the will of the Lord? Do you? If you love the Lord more, you will do just that. But I also ask this morning, do you love the Lord more than riches? Do you? Do you love the Lord more than material wealth and possessions? Sadly, there are some who make the heaping up of riches the chief object of their affection. Did you know that? You know any like that? Sadly, there are some who make heaping up riches the chief object of their affection rather than the Lord. However, when it comes to loving riches or the Lord our God, did you know you can't love both? Did you know that? When it comes to riches and the Lord our God, did you know you can't love and serve both? It's going to have to be one or the other. Notice this with me, if you will, there in Matthew chapter 6. Notice what Jesus says about this here in verse number 24. Jesus said, "No one or no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one," now watch it, "and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." The word mammon there denotes riches. And Jesus made it very clear that, hey, you can't serve two masters. You're not going to be able to serve both the Lord our God and riches. You're either going to serve one or the other. So which is it going to be? Do you love the Lord our God more than riches? Do you? You see, when one chooses to make heaping up riches for themselves a matter of materialistic nature, when they choose heaping up riches for themselves a priority, they've chosen to serve mammon. And when one chooses to serve mammon, they allow it to master them, which, by the way, will lead to them straying from the faith. It'll lead them far away from the Lord our God and their duty to Him. We learn about this in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. As good Bible students, in the context of Luke chapter 8 there, Jesus presents us with the parable of the sower. And then he goes on to explain that parable of the sower. And notice with me, as he's explaining the parable of the sower, what he says about those who make riches a priority. He says here in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 14, "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who walk, Jesus, when they have heard, go out and are choked." What are they choked with, Jesus? Cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Let that marinate in your thoughts for a moment. Let that sink in. Understand that when one lets riches and the heaping up of riches rule their life, that it's going to lead them far away from the Lord. It's going to ultimately bring no fruit to maturity. However, if one truly loves the Lord more than riches, they will not allow the pursuit of riches to master them, and they will not make riches or obtaining them a priority. So what about you? What about you? Which will you choose to serve? Will you choose riches or the Lord our God? You see, if you love the Lord more, you will choose the Lord, and you will likewise give liberally of your means to the Lord. But finally, I ask this morning, do you love the Lord more than the pleasures of life, or more than the world or the things that are in the world? Do you? What about you? You see, although some, again, try to be a friend of both the world and the Lord, although some seem to find more enjoyment in pursuing the sensual pleasures of this life than they do in their duty to the Lord, one must understand that pursuing the pleasures of life will take one far from the focus that should be on the Lord thy God. And it will lead one to also bring no fruit to maturity. We learned that as we read Luke chapter 6 or 8 and verse 14, didn't we? Well, is another one of those things Jesus said that will result in bringing no fruit to maturity? Pleasures of life. And when one pursues the pleasures of life, it will certainly take them far from the focus of the Lord. And it will ultimately lead to bringing no fruit to maturity. That's serious, isn't it? That's serious. But likewise, we must understand that it's also serious if we attempt to be a friend of the world. You see, the ways of the world are contrary to the ways of the Lord our God. That's why Paul instructed there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to the world. Simply put, Paul's saying, don't be like the world. Don't be like it. He recognized that the ways of the world are contrary to the ways of God. James even asked there in James chapter 4 and verse 4, he asked, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? You ever think about that question before, Billy? Friendship with the world, James said, is enmity with God. You know what he means by that, TJ? What he's saying there is he's saying it makes you at war with God. That's serious, isn't it? Because guess what? He goes on to say there in the latter part of that verse, anyone who makes himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Does that get your attention? It gets your attention, doesn't it, Steve? It gets my attention. And that's why we need to understand that. That's why John gave this warning for us in 1 John chapter 2. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 John chapter 2. And notice this warning from John, beginning here in verse number 15. He said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now pay attention to verse 17. Because John said, and the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Simply put, we must love the Lord more than anything else. More than anything else. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the fact that the more we love the Lord, the less we will love the world or the things in it. Did you know that? The more we love the Lord, the less we're going to love this world or the things in it. But on the flip side of that coin, the more we love the pleasures of life, or the more we love the world or the things in the world, the less we will love the Lord. So what about you? Do you love the Lord more than the pleasures of life or the world or things in the world? What about you? Would you prefer to go fishing? Would you prefer to go to a ball game? Would you prefer to play a game of golf? Or would you prefer to watch TV or to do something else instead of going to church to worship God or to a Bible study to study His Word? What about you? What about you? You see, each one has to answer this for themselves. But the truth is, your actions will speak louder than your words. And if you truly love the Lord thy God more, you will put Him before anyone or anything else. You're going to put Him and spending time in service to Him before going fishing, before going to any ball game, before playing a game of golf, before watching TV, before going to work. You're going to put Him before anything else or anyone else, including the pleasures of this life or the world and the things in it. So once more I ask, do you love the Lord more? Do you? If not, why not reevaluate your priorities now and choose to put the Lord and His will before all else, never forgetting these words of Jesus found in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Maybe there's one here this morning who truly does love the Lord, but you have not yet submitted yourself in obedience to His will. You have an opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this very hour. For you have heard the word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ. And you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins this very hour. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to keep on keeping on. We must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've put in the pleasures of life or the world or your family or yourself or the praise of men before the Lord. We encourage you to repent of that. We encourage you to return to your first love. And you can do that by repenting of your sins, confessing them to God, and asking for His forgiveness. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song of Max's Selection.